You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sean, what's the story with our cryptocurrencies? Why all of a sudden has Bitcoin decided that it's headed for Mars?
Well, Bitcoin, A, they aren't making any more of it, and so more people are starting to collect it. I don't really consider it a currency. People don't use it to buy things. They just hold on to it. It's more of a collectible. But, again, they aren't making any more of it, and the SEC head who didn't like Bitcoin is out. And the new guy coming in loves Bitcoin, and also Trump loves Bitcoin. So naturally, that's a good thing to invest in. My watchword for 2025 is what will do well under Trump. He pretty much changes the game on a lot of things. And Bitcoin is one of those things that will do very well. It's not the only thing. I saw yesterday that something called Fartcoin is way up, and it has a larger market cap than things like Etsy and Groupon and like stuff like that. So, I mean, really, those speculative investments all over the place are up. But the only one I really trust is Bitcoin. Ethereum to a lesser extent, but Bitcoin certainly. XRP is mainly used by criminals, and 2025 will be a good year for criminals. So maybe you want to buy some XRP as well.
Now, we have places like Vancouver City Hall. They say they want to get into Bitcoin. Guatemala, I think, is big into Bitcoin. It's part of their currency. I think it's the only country in the world that has...
No. That's either Nicaragua or El Salvador.
Or El Salvador. Maybe. See, I don't know. Once you get those little countries there
in
the middle.
One of my colleagues lives there, and yeah. I can't remember which particular Central American country it is. But yes. It's worked out fabulously for them. And I think we'll see more of that, too. Countries and companies buying Bitcoin just because they feel they need to own it. We saw Microsoft turn down owning Bitcoin in their reserves. They just aren't ready for it. But you know what? Come back in a few years, maybe they will be. But where will the price of Bitcoin be then? It seems to me now, $100,000 is the base for Bitcoin. It pushed above that, came down, tested it, seems to be going higher. I'm very happy with our Bitcoin investments. I may add more in the new year.
Are you worried if there's a market correction, it'll bring Bitcoin down?
Well, everything will come down, and Bitcoin is a speculative investment. So, you know, I mean, actually, I was just having a chat with my colleagues. They asked us for three investable ideas, and I said, well, it's not really investable, but I'm expecting an imminent correction of at least 5%. That's due to a bunch of things. Basically, I believe we got the Santa Claus rally early. That was due to Trump's election, because the one thing you can count on him passing in his first year, even more than deporting immigrants, is tax cuts for corporations and the very wealthy. And so the corporate tax rate will probably be cut down to 15%. It's going to boost earnings tremendously in 2025. A lot of that's been priced in already, though. People are, you know, taking out the old calculators and say, okay, how much will this company owe if their taxes go down to 15%? What's that do to their bottom line? And so we had a bunch of that priced in, but, you know, Wall Street moves faster and faster all the time, and I believe that it's priced in now. So I'm not saying that we can't have any more rallies toward the end of the year. I'm just saying that I think things have peaked, and we'll probably need at least a 5% correction to get down where things start to look affordable again. So what I did in all three of my trading portfolios, Wealth Megatrends, Resource Trader, and Supercycle Investor, we took gains. We took a lot of gains. And we still have money in there, but not nearly as much as we normally do, because, again, I think the market in the short term has topped out and will have a chance to buy again at cheaper prices. It doesn't mean that I think that the rally is over, not at all. It's just that, you know, nothing moves in a straight line, and it's probably time for things to zag down. I actually made a whole presentation to my colleagues on this, just showing how overbought different things have gotten and how sentiment has tipped too far to one side of the boat. And so a correction would be the simplest solution to all this, and we'll probably get the simplest solution.
Trade wars, TikTok on the edge of being banned, China retaliating, now investigating NVIDIA. Are we going to see more of this?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's one thing that hasn't been priced into the market. The stock market loved and obsessed on the tax cuts, but it's not pricing in the bad parts of Trump's agenda, or I should say the stuff that works against the economy, which is pushing everyone without papers out of the country, and some people who have papers but happen to be born to illegal immigrant parents and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in places like I am in Florida, where at least 5% of the population doesn't have papers. So what's going to happen here? I think there's a lot of jobs that are going to go unfilled. And so that will probably drag on the economy. The other thing is, of course, tariffs. We're going to see, very likely, higher tariffs on China, probably on Europe, probably on Mexico, because Mexico is getting pricey about it. Canada seems to be making a deal, or at least they're talking in a way that might actually appeal to Trump. But, you know, maybe we'll see tariffs on Canada as well. Remember that Trump slapped a lot of tariffs on in his first term, and other countries did retaliate. U.S. soybean farmers, for example, got hammered. And I expect China to look to Brazil and Argentina for all sorts of grown foods and like stuff like that. So U.S. farmers could definitely feel it, but there's other things as well that could get slammed. And so people should be aware of that as well.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with crude?
Oh, it's not looking good. And I say this as a person with a bunch of oil positions. However, all my oil positions pay dividends, so people are paid to wait. I wouldn't own an oil position that didn't pay a nice dividend. And the way the market's been going, those dividends look nicer all the time because prices are going down. If you look at a chart of, say, the XLE, for example, the decline in there is just horrible. And we saw things like OPEC lower its forecast for like 2025. I believe the demand, it's just insane how much they've cut it from, like, say, March of this year. I don't have that exact number in front of me, but, I mean, they're really expecting a lot less oil demand next year. Part of that's due to electric vehicles, absolutely. Part of that is because they think that some kind of global trade war, which we could be going into, could hurt global oil demand. So they have those things to worry about. There are some places that, I should say, some stocks that perform better than others in this environment. But really, I'm not in the mood to buy anything. I'm just going to hold on to what I have. Like I said, those people get paid to wait. And I'll look for a buying opportunity. Probably lower prices are coming in the stocks. I don't know about oil. I do know that President-elect Trump has said that he wants U.S. oil output to increase quite a lot. U.S. oil output is already at a record. It's hard to increase it a lot. And also, there are signs that some areas of, like, the Bakken, or at least other shale fields, seem to be maxing out. So they could be going into their decline stages. So if that happens, that would boost prices, but that isn't guaranteed either. Those oil guys seem to be coming up with new tech to improve their profit margins all the time. So I'm not an investor in oil at this time. I would love to be, but I am a holder because I think eventually, you know, we'll oil is always a cyclical market. Eventually, we are going to get to the point where oil goes up again.
Of course, if there's any trade war here, oil, the biggest oil supplier to the U.S., Canada, also the biggest supplier of French fries. 75% of American French fries come from Canada.
Did not know that. Did the people in Idaho know that? They might be kind of ticked off.
Yeah, well, I guess they just don't make enough. So either Canada,
the right kind.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Are Americans ready to pay 25% more for their French fries? Or what if Canada withheld them? Would America suffer French fry shock?
I think he was talking about 10% tariffs on Canada, wasn't he?
No, 25%.
25%. Oh, yeah. My God. Well, if our friends on Wall Street are right, he's just staking out negotiating positions. I just tend to think they're wrong. Because the last things that he's actually spoken about recently, I mean, big public statements he's made, are that he's going to enact tariffs on day one, and also on day one, he's going to slam the border shut. So he's really focused on those two things. Now, those both come after tax cuts. People have to remember that. That's the thing that the Republicans are absolutely going to pass. Is more tax cuts. So that's the big thing. And, you know, maybe they'll trip and fall trying to get the other stuff done, but I would, if I were an immigrant and I didn't have papers, I would be worried. I really would. I would think that I might get the boot. I think that's going to be transformative for not only states like Florida, but also Texas, and other border states, you know, Louisiana. Places where there are lots of immigrants, they're going to have some trouble. And then the tariffs, I mean, it all depends on how they're enacted. We don't know. I mean, that's often very hard for people on Wall Street to admit is that they don't know something, which is maybe why Wall Street's been ignoring the tariff stuff, because we really don't know what's going to happen, you know. And so they're assuming the best. I would not assume the best. I would assume the worst. That way, at least you're pleasantly surprised. If it doesn't work out that way.
China is now starting to restrict the flow of rare earths to the U.S. Canada does have rare earths. Could a trade war here choke the U.S. off from those sources?
Yeah, we've lost access to three critical metals, three critical metals from China. On the bright side, I had my resource trader subscribers in a antimony stock, put them in late September. I'd actually been watching for months, waiting for a pullback. There never was one, which is a good sign that you should be buying, because the pullback isn't coming, right? And that position is up over 100%. I only wish that we'd bought more of it. But these things are tiny. And any timeline for production here in the U.S. is years out. You have to understand that. We're going to have to get more production from somewhere else. I mean, there's a mine that it's actually a gold mine, but it has antimony as a byproduct, and that won't be in production until I think it's 2030, you know, and that's like the closest we've got. So there is interesting stuff out there, but it's going to take time. It's going to take money, and you're asking people to invest money in building these projects when they know in the back of their minds China might change their minds down the road and start exporting a lot of these metals for cheap, right? So that's actually a big risky thing for them. I can understand why there would be some hesitation. On the other hand, the U.S. government is throwing money at it. Other countries around the world are throwing money at it. No one likes having China's hands on their throat. They want to be free of that. And so I think there are some investable opportunities in critical metals.
Uranium, what's happening there?
Kind of gone into slumber. That's okay. I mean, we just sold out of one position with a small gain. Holding on to some others, waiting for things to pick up. Maybe in 2025 we'll see that. The big supply-demand squeeze is like really coming along. When I was in New Orleans at the New Orleans Investment Conference, I got to talk to a couple uranium companies, including one producer, and though the spot price isn't moving, behind the scenes, the long-term contracts, which is really where most uranium is traded, in these long-term contracts, that's where it's actually bought and sold, those are locking in at higher and higher prices. And so, you know, I mean, like I said, it seems to be snoozing for now. And so I'm not expecting a lot between now and the end of the year. But I think that uranium is definitely investable for next year. It's had a pretty good year this year. Next year could be even better.
AI mania continuing, or is it just NVIDIA?
No, it's continuing. We have a couple stocks that are leveraged to the AI play that in the super cycle investor portfolio that are doing quite well. Yeah, very nicely. And it's not just NVIDIA, and there's much more to come. I mean, not only AI, which should not be ignored. I mean, the amount of penetration that has in the marketplace, it gets a lot of talk, but it really hasn't penetrated the market that much yet. It's going to penetrate a lot more. So, yeah, that's coming. The other thing is quantum computing, and very early stages on that. But there have been some breakthroughs lately. And so we'll have to see how that goes. The thing that really concerns me is that these really smart guys working in the AI space, more and more of them have become convinced that we're living in a simulation. And what if we are? What if you and I are just, some stray electrons rolling around in some simulation? That would suck. But we'll have to see how that goes. 2025 could be a weird year. I don't know that we're going to hit the artificial intelligence singularity, but it's certainly getting closer. And now we have strange UFOs flying around in the sky and stuff like that. Oh, my God. 2025 could turn out to be a very strange year, certainly. But it's also an investable year. Like I said, I don't think the big bull market is over. And though it could be damaged by exporting people who are here illegally and also higher tariffs on our trading partners and them then slapping tariffs on us, those things could drag on a bull market, but I don't think they'll derail it. Not at this time, I don't. And so, you know, I'm looking for a pullback in the short term. I think that's going to bring us to a good place to buy early in the new year. And so that's how I'm actually looking forward to it. We've made some nice gains this year. Really looking forward to making more good gains next year.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, Senior Editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.